Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Right, the time is 12 minutes past 11 here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. Don't mind me repeating that jingle. I had a technical problem that I had to quickly fix. Fortunately, and I am happy that we do have Pastor on the line. Pastor Munga, good morning.
Good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm super excited.
Same here, my pastor. Before we get into our conversation, Pastor, can we open with a word of prayer?
Thank you. Our Father and our Lord in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence again with our listeners, our presenter, that you may speak to us in a special words of comfort, and that we may be drawn closer to you than before. Be with us in everything through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Let's get into it, my pastor. So our listeners at home, we are on our Daily Focus feature. We are looking at this week's theme that says dealing with loss. Today we are focusing on from grief to grace. And grief has a way of making us feel broken, lost and alone. But it's in these moments of sorrow that God's grace shines brightest. Let's explore how can we trust God's plan even when we don't understand the pain, and how his grace can help us heal and move forward with hope. So my pastor, how can we recognize God's presence in our grief even when we feel abandoned?
Thank you very much, my sister. For sure, like you have rightly said, in most cases we are broken, lost and alone. And even those moments of feeling abandoned, they come to us. What comes to my mind is those two disciples that we find in Luke chapter 24, verse 15. You find these disciples are disappointed. The person they thought would be the king of the Jews has been crucified, buried, and they are heading home. Mm. And verse 15 is very interesting for us. The Bible says, it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Mm. I call this. On this day, they were the most disappointed disciples. And out of all people on this planet, at that time, Jesus drew near to them and he went with them. Mm. And as he talked to them and as they talked to each other, at the end of the day, they see, this is our Jesus. And even when the meal was there, he prayed for the meal. They couldn't eat because of the excitement.
Hey.
And we see them heading back. What we see, what do we see here? Jesus turned this grief. In other words, from grief, now they are in grace. Hey. They were very disappointed.
Mm.
But after finding this Jesus, they are now, life has turned upside down.
Mm.
The 11-kilometer journey, they walk it backwards. In the night.
Mm.
Why? Because they had met Jesus. So we can feel God's presence by realizing that Jesus with us. At first, they had not realized that he was with them.
Hey.
But by and by, they saw that he was with them. I can also relate with Genesis 28, verse 15, when Jacob was running away from his brother. And then the Bible says, behold, I'm with you.
Hey.
And will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have forsaken you. I love this Jesus because he chooses to accompany the most disappointed person. Jesus is with us and we can feel his presence because he has promised, I will never leave you. He says, behold. Behold means you stop whatever you are doing. Something is happening around you. I am with you.
Right.
And will be wherever. But go in the night, in the day, he's there.
Mm, mm, I love the phrase, "I'll be with you." God promised Jacob that he will be with him everywhere he goes. So how can we hold on to God's promises of healing when the pain feels unbearable?
We can hold on to God's promises of healing by one of the ways is to worship him through songs of praise. In other words, you can be a David in your own life, in your own space, by singing God's promises. I was looking at this one. This is that song there. The great physician is now near. They sympathize in Jesus. He speaks a drooping heart to cheer or hear the voice of Jesus. So we can sing the promises of God. Being a David, you can write your experiences about your life or what you are feeling at that particular moment. And he has promised that he will always be.
Pastor Munga?
I hope.
My pastor? It seems like we are losing you. Can you hear me, my pastor? Okay.
I can hear you.
Let's try to call you again, my pastor. If you can hear me, just look for a better place where you can find a stable network.
I don't know.
Hey.
I don't know that yet, you know.
You are cutting, my pastor. Let me call you again. Pastor, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I hope you can get to me now. You can get to me now?
Yes, my pastor.
Thank you.
Yes, my pastor. Let's continue with our conversation. Pastor?
Hello.
Yes, my pastor. I was saying, let's continue with our conversation. You were still answering my question that was saying, how can we hold on to God's promises of healing when the pain feels unbearable?
Thank you. So I said that we can worship through songs of praise, and I mentioned that it is important that you can be a David in your own life by singing God's promises. And I cited one song, this song written by this songwriter, the great physician is near. The great physician now is near. They're sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer or hear the voice of Jesus. So we can sing the promises of God. As you are reading the Bible, you can compose a song about God's promises. You can see, you can rehearse this. Usually I write them, I get a notebook, I write them down, I recite them. When I am low, when I'm pained, and this brings me back to life, that indeed the promises of God can keep me during such tough moments.
Thank you so much, my pastor, for that. And what does it mean to trust God with our grief? And how do we let go of the need for control?
Thank you. In the first place, it's not easy. I remember some time back I was called to speak at a forum, and I spoke from Job, and the title was "Trust in God when it does not make sense." Trust in God when it does not humanly make sense, the case of Job. You will find Job, when he has lost all the children, 10 children, he has lost his health, he has lost the wealth. And then he says in Job 13 verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I'll defend my own ways before him." This is someone who has lost almost everything. But he says that even if he kills me, even if I die in these trials, I will still trust him. So meaning trusting God, when you trust God, you don't make conditions for trusting God. That I can only trust God when he has done this, when things are all right in my life. No. Even when you have lost your job, trust him.
Hey.
Even when you have lost your marriage, trust him. When you have lost your child, your husband, your wife, your aunt, anyone, anything, trust him. We also find like the prophet Habakkuk there in chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Though he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the vine may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there is no head in the store, yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Hey.
I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Like we have experienced a drought in Southern Africa, in particular Zambia and Zimbabwe, crops failed in a lot of parts of the country. But the prophet said, even if this happened, I will still joy. I will joy, I will rejoice in the Lord.
Mm.
God is God. In whatever situation we are, he still remains God, and he is on the throne. He's caring. He's loving. Even when there's war in Ukraine, when there's war in Central African Republic, he is still God and he's still caring.
Wow. Thank you so much, my pastor, for that beautiful answer right there. And then how can we encourage ourselves to hope for the future and despite the pain of loss?
In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we read, look for the blessed hope, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. There is an event in the future where our focus should be. And this event, it doesn't matter whether I die today, whether I live for the next 100 years, it doesn't matter what. This event is our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of this Jesus Christ. Anything can happen to me. I can lose someone close to me. I can die myself and I'm close to someone. But there's an event that we are waiting for. The glorious appearing of this Jesus Christ. So this is our hope. No wonder the Christians of the old, they would write, after writing the letter, at the end, they never used to say yours theory, yours faithfully. They used to say yours in the blessed hope.
Hey.
They were reminding each other. As you read the letter, when you come to the end, even if it's sad news, they're announcing someone who has died, but at the end they will say yours in the blessed hope of our soon coming Jesus Christ. So this is the event that should keep our hopes high, even when we are passing through pain of loss.
Before I let you go, my pastor, because of time, here's the last question. How can serving others in their grief be a way of finding God's healing power in our own lives?
Thank you. For sure, we find that when you are encouraging another one, actually, you are encouraging yourself too. It's like helping someone out of a bad situation, someone feeling cold, you get this person out of ice, and as you are struggling, you make this person warm, and you find that you have made yourself warm. So if this person has survived, you have also survived. Like we find in the Proverbs 11, verse 15 there, the generous shall be made rich. He who waters will also be watered. When you're watering in a garden, as the water is falling on the vegetable, it is also falling on you. So when you are helping others to get out of grief, you are also helping yourself. Like we mentioned yesterday, you can be involved in community service, even when you are grieving. So when you focus your attention outside, you find that you find healing inside.
Wow. Thank you so much, my pastor. Shall we close with a word of prayer?
Thank you. Our Lord and our Savior, we thank you very much for your love and for your kindness, which we pray that the Holy Spirit will always remind us not to take for granted. Someone is grieving out there, looking into the horizon for help. They can see it. But this morning, whisper to someone that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Someone who has lost a husband, a wife, a child, a close family member, someone who has lost a job, someone who has lost a business, remind those people as you reminded our forefathers, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Thank you, Jesus, for drawing near to us when we are pained, when we are passing through loss and grief. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. Until tomorrow, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are most welcome, and our listeners, God bless you.
Amen. To our listeners at home, that was Pastor Pastor Paz Momunga talking to us on our Daily Focus feature, dealing with loss. We were looking at From Grief to Grace. Today, our network was trying to act up, but God is good. We were able to get hold of him again. But tomorrow, I hope the network will be stable, and we are preparing ourselves to get into our daily devotion. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.